Great to see you guys this morning. Hope you're doing well and excited about what God's going to do today in our hearts and say to us. Revelation chapter 9. Now, I was going to try to cover verses 1 through 12, but as always, have Bible will babble and realized I will not be able to make it. Since we're not going to babble on or cover Babylon today, then we're going to stop at verse 6. But let's read this together. We're going to do the first six verses of this fifth trumpet. Notice it says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth had power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them." The fifth trumpet I've entitled today, Spiritual Warfare on Steroids. And the reason being is because we've all had spiritual warfare, have we not? Every one of us have experienced spiritual warfare. Some of you this morning, you're experiencing spiritual warfare right now. As a matter of fact, there's going to be spiritual warfare during this teaching that goes on. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to be working in your heart to change your life. If you don't know the Lord, He's going to be trying to bring you to Himself. If you're a Christian who's either in sin or thinking about sin, He's going to try to just dole everything out and kind of keep going the way you are. Don't listen to this guy. Forget that. And so there's spiritual warfare. There can be distractions that go on. All kinds of things can happen. Your mind can fill with what's coming up for the coming week. You know, we tend to think, oh, my mind's very active. Well, it might be. But a lot of times it's simply spiritual warfare. And we need to learn to recognize spiritual warfare, pray against it, say, God, rebuke the enemy. And if that's happening right now in your mind, Lord, rebuke the enemy. Give me ears to hear. Let me hear what's going to happen today. I need to hear from you. But that's the kind of spiritual warfare we experience. And yes, sometimes it does manifest itself in a physical way. We see that in Scripture where the demonic realm attacked Job. Job was physically ill and all these things happened. So we see there's a physical manifestation as well as a mental and psychological and emotional manifestation. Sometimes it's just us, but a lot of times it's the enemy. This is going to be something that's going to be way worse. All those other elements that we just spoke about are going to be a part of what's happening in the last days. But then on top of it, you're going to have this unleash of this demonic horde that is going to be mad, is going to be wanting revenge, has been locked up, which we'll get to in just a moment. And God is now going to give them a short amount of time to come and just kind of take it out pretty much on mankind. When I say, I don't want to be here, you know why? I don't want to be here for that. I'm glad that I'm going to be out of here. And yet it's going to be a really, 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 really ugly time. Now, battle's ugly no matter what. Battle is ugly. I just got back from a pastor's conference, and at the pastor's conference, Raul Reese, a Calvary pastor, served in Vietnam and went through a bunch of horrible, horrific times in Vietnam. And he had this video that he made, a movie that he made that he shared there at the conference. And one of the scenes of the movie, it didn't really show this. It's just him talking about it as they were showing other scenes of war. But he's with a buddy in battle, and he watches his buddy step on a landmine, and his legs get blown off. The last thing he remembered was a loud blast and literally a leg with a boot still on it. He sees flying past him. That's the ugliness and the reality of war. That's what happens. His friend ended up dying, and it was a horrible memory now for the rest of his life and all these kind of things. That's just physical battle. But even as there is physical battle, we have to understand there's spiritual battle as well. And there are spiritual landmines that are placed all around for you guys and for myself. And if we don't have on the full armor of God to be able to handle the battle, and we don't watch for the spiritual landmines and have our glasses on, our spiritual glasses, to see where the attack is and where the attack's going to be, then we're going to be a casualty of war. Now imagine what it's going to be like in the Great Tribulation when the believers are gone and the Antichrist is ruling and reigning and demonic activity is running rampant. It's already bad. And then he unleashes this next group of demons that have been locked up and are going to be attacking mankind. It's going to be really ugly. Now, Satan has already been cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels have been cast down with him. However, they still roam free. Satan is roaming free. A third of the angels are roaming free until finally the 1,000-year reign, when Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign, Satan will be grabbed and bound for 1,000 years. We'll get to that later on in Revelation. And all the other demons will be bound and thrown in there with him. And they've got to sit there and stew in that holding tank, this bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. But with that said, there was a certain portion of the angels that did something so bad, a certain portion of the fallen angels of that third, of the ones we would call the demonic realm, there's a portion of those who did something so bad, God locked them up early. So you still have part of the demonic realm roaming free. You still have Satan roaming free, and that's who we fight with in spiritual warfare. And you have a portion of these angels that are locked up in this place called Tartarus. We saw it a few weeks ago. Remember, 2 Peter talks about it. The bottomless pit, we're going to see that again today, where these angels, it tells us in Jude, they left their proper domain. They went after strange flesh. There's also a possible mention of these angels back in Genesis 6. We're going to see in Job, the angels are referred to as stars and sons of God. And we see the sons of God went into the daughters of men. And so there appears to be some type of supernatural and natural coming together that God despised. And whatever the outcome, you know, was, whatever the details of that was, the bottom line is God grabbed these angels and said, that's enough. You're already fallen, you're already demonic, but you've gone too far. And although you were going to have temporary freedom until Judgment Day, you're going to have no freedom now until the Great Tribulation, where I'm going to give you 5 months to roam. But right now I'm throwing you into this bottomless pit and you're going to be locked up. And that is what the demonic realm is facing right now. That's where the battle is as far as us fighting in the demonic realm. Who are we fighting? Satan and the fallen angels with a portion of them down here in this place called Tartarus. And yet for those who are not locked up, we have a real spiritual battle going on right now. And the thing we have to realize is that the battle is not visible. And because the battle is not always visible, some people don't even believe in it. I talk to people who don't even believe in Satan. They don't even believe in the demonic realm. And I think about, look, how hard it is in battle when you can see and believe in your enemy. Now imagine not being able to see your enemy. And imagine even more than that, not believing in your enemy. What kind of defenses do you have? If you don't believe there's any real enemy there, are you going to put on any kind of spiritual armor? Absolutely not. And yet the Bible tells us as believers, put on the full armor of God. Now, how do we put on the full armor out of Ephesians 6? It talks about the breastplate and the helmet and all the parts, but it's talking about spiritually putting them on. It's not physical armor we're wearing. It comes through prayer. It comes through the word of God. It comes through worship. That's where the armor comes in. It comes on being alert and being ready and knowing that there's a real enemy and that he hates us and that we're fighting him and we have to be prepared for battle. But you take a person like it's going to be happening here in the last days when the Christians have been removed off the earth, who don't even believe in demons, who don't even believe in Satan, who don't even recognize a spiritual battle going on. They're going to be sitting ducks. And the demonic realm is going to be unleashed on them to wreak horror and havoc. Now, the exciting thing we're going to see is the believers during this time are protected. Remember, the believers are taken out in the rapture, but after the rapture, more get saved, the Bible tells us. And so the ones that are saved are going to have the seal of God, and we're going to see that as well. And so the enemy's not going to be able to attack them, which is really cool because God is apparently going to do the same thing. Not apparently, he is going to do the same thing in the great tribulation he did in Egypt in the 10 plagues. And that is, although there will be great consequences for those who miss the rapture and are left behind in the great tribulation, as they're going to have to try to find food and try to find water and probably end up being put to death for their faith. However, they're not going to come under the wrath of God. God is going to put a seal or a mark on their forehead, the Bible tells us. And then when Satan is unleashed to do all of his bad stuff that he's going to do in the demonic realm, they have to find those who don't have the seal of God, and then they can attack them. And so that's where we take up here in chapter 9 and verse 1 with this angel sounding the fifth trumpet. Now remember, when the fourth trumpet was sounded, we saw that the last trumpet was, we ended with the fourth one. The angel was flying through heaven going, whoa, 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 for the remaining blast of the trumpet. We've had the first four. There are three more to go. As we said last week, if you think the first four were bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And now you're going to see why he was saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because this first whoa, this next trumpet, the fifth trumpet to sound after he says this is almost unimaginable. We'll do the best to put it in a way we can understand it, a way that we can see what's going to happen. But trying to really be there is who knows what it's really going to be like other than what God tells us. But I can tell you this, Hollywood couldn't make a movie any worse than this. There couldn't be a horror film done any worse than what we see when this fifth trumpet sounds. Notice, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him, note that, not to it, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, first of all, we note that this is no ordinary star, right? You don't refer to stars as hymns. You don't grab a star and throw it to the earth. It would destroy the entire planet. So we find out what we're dealing with here is a supernatural being. This is no ordinary star. This is a star that has fallen from heaven, a star that is called a hymn. And so we see that it is speaking of a being, a created being. Now, stars in Scripture, it's important to note this because as you read through the Bible, you need to understand the images and the words and the pictures that God uses. But stars in Scripture are used two ways. One is they're used as stars.
Genesis 1:16, God created the stars and he placed them in the heavens. Secondly, they are used of even Jesus Christ, where he's called the bright and morning star, okay? But really, and I'll kind of link Jesus with the other second way that it's used, although he's not an angel. I guess we should make it three because the Lord is not an angel. But the next way is the angels in heaven. The angels are referred to in Scripture as stars. Where do we see this? I'll read one for you and you can look it up later. Job 38:7. God speaking of when he created the heavens and the earth, he said this. He said, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. So we see that, we know that normal stars don't sing, but the angels quite obviously do. So now we see the angels up there singing, referred to as stars, and the angels are also referred to as sons of God. Now we are called in the New Testament sons of God. So we see that believers are called sons of God, angels are called sons of God, and angels are also called stars. So when you see stars or sons of God, you've got to determine which one is the scripture referring to. In this particular situation, being thrown from heaven, the star that's going to be given this key to the bottomless pit is obviously a supernatural angel and not the ordinary star, as we said. So who is this star? This star is none other than Satan himself. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And interestingly, the word here fallen means to not only to fall, but to be thrown or cast down. So even as Satan was cast down from heaven, Satan is now going to be released and given power to open this key to the bottomless pit. Now this again, this is where the plot thickens. Again, you guys that ever want to make a Christian movie, if God ever gives you that, man, there's lots of material here, I'm telling you. And it would be material that the world would go see because it would freak them out. You just need the money to make it look real. If Christians had money and enough ability to do that, we have money, let's just laugh. If Christians had money, ha 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 ha, right? God gives us everything. Are we blessed or what? We are blessed by the Lord, even in what this say this down economy. God's never down. He's always blessing. But I'm talking about if we had money and resources, to put into movies, and so, now it's starting to happen. Christian movies are coming out, and they're getting a little bit more money, but you can't really do it the way Hollywood does because it takes lots of money to do these huge effects the way Hollywood does. But man, if you ever had a heart to do that and God ever opened up a door, is this a scene to do? Here comes Satan being thrown out of heaven. God gives him, in some form and fashion, a supernatural key to open this supernatural bottomless pit and release a demonic horde upon the earth. We'll get to them in just a moment. Let's talk first about the bottomless pit. What is this bottomless pit, and where in the world is it? Well, I already mentioned earlier, remember we studied a few weeks back, we looked at 2 Peter, and we saw that there is a place in the center of the earth called Tartarus. It's a place where the angels who did something so bad, as we talked about, even more than the other demons, God grabbed them and threw them in this place. And the Bible refers to it as the bottomless pit. So we have this group of angels that are like the super bad angels, worse than even the demonic realm, more disobedient than the normal demonic angel, locked up in this Tartarus, locked up in this bottomless pit in the center of the earth. And the word here, bottomless pit, means something of great depth, which shows it's very deep in the heart of the earth and probably all the way down to the middle. But also the fact that it's called bottomless, I think, reveals to us that it's in the center of the earth because the earth is round. And as the earth is round and rotates, there is no bottom to the earth. It just kind of rotates. So they're in this kind of just bottomless pit, and they're locked in there until the day that the Lord's going to let them out to roam free on the earth to bring this judgment from this fifth trumpet that's blasted by this angel. This is not only a place that they know about, quite obviously, because they're there, but the other demons obviously know about this abyss or bottomless pit as well. How do we know that? Because remember when Jesus would come to those who were demon-possessed? We see in Luke 8:30 where Jesus encountered this demon-possessed man. Remember the one that had legion? And they're crying out to the Lord. They knew that he was going to cast them out, and they knew that he had the power to throw them in the bottomless pit, into this abyss where the other angels were that had already disobeyed, these fallen angels that had disobeyed. And so they start begging him. They said, please, you know, don't cast us into the abyss, is what they said literally. They said, let us go into these swine. Let us go into these pigs over here. And note this, a demon would rather live inside of a pig than to be thrown into the bottomless pit. And that kind of shows you what this must be like. It's obviously a place they don't want to go. It's a place that they have a great fear about. And now Satan here we see is given this key to this bottomless pit, and he's going to now release these angry, vengeful, tied up, and ready to go demonic hordes upon the earth. Now imagine that for a minute. These guys know one day they're going to face the lake of fire. They know that. Their buddies are running free. The other fallen angels, they still have more time. They're up here roaming the earth right now. We're fighting them in spiritual battle. They're down there in the center of the earth locked up, getting madder and madder. You ever heard about, you know, madder than a wet hornet? Well, you know, madder than a locked up demon. I don't know how that goes. It didn't work as good, but imagine that. And they're ready to get out. And you can imagine when they get out, what kind of devastation they're going to unleash on mankind. They're vengeful. They're angry. They want to destroy everything in their path. And it would be like a lion that's caged up that you're taunting with a stick. And he's in the cage. You're taunting him, torturing him, shocking him, burning him, sticking him, poking him, making him bleed. And all of a sudden somebody opens the gate. What's going to happen? Let me tell you something. Anybody in that guy's path is dead meat, quite literally. And so now you get a picture of what's going to be happening here when these guys get released. Because, again, I was trying to put this in something we could imagine today. You can't really imagine it. And especially when we get to what these guys look like. Next week, we're going to get to what they look like. They've got like this long hair, the face of men, teeth like lions. They're wearing this armor that looks like locusts and horses for battle. By the way, we'll talk about that next week, because when you look at those things up close, they look like they're wearing armor. Locusts do. It's a whole interesting thing you see going on here. But these guys are like wicked. And they're going to not only be wicked, they're going to look wicked. And I don't know whether or not they'll be visible. Probably they won't. They'll probably be invisible. But imagine if you would, taking the worst of the worst, taking the worst rapists, the worst murderers, the whatever you can get, and releasing them unsuspectingly all at once on Knoxville. Nobody tells you about it. Husbands, you're at work. The wives are at home with the doors unlocked, you know, just doing whatever. The kids are out in the yard playing, and they release just hordes and hordes of these wicked people that have been locked up and are angry and are mad and have not had any type of gratification for their flesh, and they're ready to go out and just take it out on everybody they can in your neighborhood. What do you think about that? That's what this is going to be like, except even worse. That's just men. These are supernatural beings. So now you know why the angel said, whoa, for the three remaining plagues at the blast of the trumpet that's coming upon the earth. The angel knew what was coming. The earth doesn't know what's coming. The angel knew what was coming, and this is going to be intense. This is going to be horrific, and this is going to be extremely demonic. And now Satan is given this key. They're allowed to come out of the bottomless pit. He opens it up. Notice verse 2 when he opens it. And when he opened the bottomless pit, smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So he opens this pit, and whatever this thing is, there is apparently, now this would be, not that I don't want to find it, but there's apparently, guys, a portal somewhere here on the surface of the earth that goes all the way down to the center. Right now it's locked up with the demonic realm in it. Maybe it's down in the middle of a volcano. Maybe, I don't know what it's down in the midst of. But when he unlocks this portal that goes down to the center of the earth where this Tartarus is, he's going to release them from their spiritual bondage for that moment. And as all this fire and smoke and heat and everything comes billowing up out of the center of the earth, all these demons are going to come screaming through the midst of us. And suddenly they're out. It's like, look out. Again, now you see why I said what a great movie this would make. And though I talk about it in those kind of terms, can you imagine what they're going to be like when they get here? It's almost like they take a grasp of fresh air for the first time in thousands of years. And now it's like, game on. We got 5 months. Let's make the best of it. We know we're going to be eternally condemned. We know there's nothing worse we could do to go any deeper place than hell. We might as well do as much damage as possible while we're here. And we've heard the term Hell's Angels. This is going to be really Hell's Angels in a way like nobody's ever experienced or imagined. The pit's open. Notice what happened when this pit opens up. Billowing smoke fills the atmosphere. That's like I said, you know it's in the center of the earth. And that's why when volcanoes blow, what happens? All the smoke that billows because all the fire and all the lava and all the pressure. And again, I don't know if it's going to be a volcano these guys are come busting out of, or whether it's going to be something else. But it's going to fill the environment with this, not only the debris from the asteroid that happened in the earlier trumpets, but now this blast of smoke that's going to fill the atmosphere and the environment when these things come up. And notice the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke. And this is in addition to what was already going on from the previous judgments. A third of the trees around the earth being burned. All the debris from the asteroid striking and filling the atmosphere. And now these demons come rushing out on the surface of the planet to wreak havoc. And so you see why the smoke would be billowing out and coming up and be blocking the sun again because of all the atmospheric interference and making it darker. And notice verse 3, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. Now we're going to see these locusts, the demonic realm spoken of as locusts. And we know they're locusts because it's already been, we know it's demonic realm because it's already been revealed to us. But now we're going to see even more in the scripture. This is definitely the demonic realm because notice
not only locusts coming upon the earth, but to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So it's like this horde of locusts, a whole picture of the demonic realm coming out to gobble up everything they can, to kill everybody they can, except rather than locusts that attack all the trees and the plants, they're going to be demonic locusts, these demons that will be attacking people. And notice they're going to have the sting of a scorpion. Now, it's interesting. Here's another way we know it's the demonic realm. First of all, locusts don't live in the center of the earth. They're not locked up in Tartarus, and they couldn't come up out of all that and survive. So that's pretty clear. But if you had any question, notice he says they're going to have the sting like a scorpion. Guys, what are scorpions in Scripture referred to as? The demonic realm. Remember when Jesus sent out the disciples? He said he sent them out to go and preach the gospel. He said, I've given you authority to trample on what? Scorpions. Guys, you have the authority to trample on scorpions now, don't you? You don't need some kind of supernatural ability to trample on a scorpion. You can do that without a supernatural ability. These are demonic beings, and demons are referred to in Scripture as scorpions. By the way, did you know we have scorpions here in Tennessee? That was a shocker to me. Some of you may already know that. Some of you may be shocked. I lived here my whole life. I didn't know there were scorpions. They're up in the mountains. There are scorpions in the Smoky Mountains. Now, they're these little guys, and they only have the sting of like a wasp, so you don't have to freak out. But just the idea of a scorpion is pretty freaky, isn't it? I mean, I just think about that. I was like, yikes, I don't like that. But we have them here. You think we're safe because we're not out in the middle of the desert somewhere, you know, and this kind of thing. We've got them here as well. But again, they're not the deadly ones, and they're not the ones that do all this kind of damage that we're seeing here. But the bottom line is we're seeing these are not normal locusts. These are supernatural beings. And again, they have this supernatural power. They have the ability of some type of supernatural sting, like the sting of a scorpion. And if you think an earthly sting is bad, what is a supernatural scorpion going to be like? What's a supernatural sting? Now, again, these are not really locusts and scorpions. They're angels, fallen angels, but spoken of as a locust here. And we're going to see why again next week because of all the armor they wear and the way they look and all that. And this, again, John is doing the best he can to describe this. I mean, how many of us have seen a demon, you know, that looks this way? Or even seen a demon for that matter? And so how do you describe it? It's like, oh, it's like it's got this armor on, like, you know, locusts, and it's got like this ability to sting and hurt man like a scorpion, and long hair like a woman, and teeth like a lion, and face like a man, and all this stuff we're going to see when we get to it next week. But again, John's doing, I think, a pretty good job to describe this. But again, he says these guys have this supernatural sting, and apparently they're going to be able to, well, not apparently, they are going to be able to sting those without the mark of the beast for 5 months. Notice he goes on, he says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. Again, these are normal things that a locust would go after, but they've already been attacked. Or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Aren't you glad, as a believer in Christ, you're sealed in God? You've got the seal of God. And when the enemy comes and tries to attack you, he has limits. He's like, I can't touch that guy. He's got the seal of God. I can't touch that girl. She has the seal of God. And the only time Satan can touch us is if God gives him permission. If you're like me, you're saying God don't give him permission. It's none of his business, right? But at the same time, God does allow the demonic realm to mess with us from time to time because God allows, he uses that for his purposes. But there aren't going to be that many people on the earth that have the seal of God. The majority of the earth at this time are going to be unbelievers. And they're not going to have the seal of God. They're going to have the mark of the beast. And for all those who take the mark of the beast, this demonic realm that's going to be able to sting these guys, as we're going to see in just a moment, and torment them for 5 months, is going to be unleashed on them. The mark of the beast. You know, again, that's something we don't have to face today. It is interesting, though, the technology is in place for the mark of the beast. I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast, but I do have the beast of the mark, and it's a little dachshund. And we took her a while back to go see, you know, the vet. They do all this thing. And they put this little microchip in dogs now. If you know, they put them in there so that you can find them. If you lose your dog, they can scan them or whatever. And I don't know whether they're using this technology yet or not, but I assume they could, you know, find them by satellite. All I'd do is turn the satellite on, you'd see mine under the table. But either way, you could, you know where they go and where they are because you follow them that way. The same technology is going to be there for us in our hand and our forehead. Now, not us as believers, but for unbelievers. They're going to be taking this mark, the mark of the beast. And those who have the mark of the beast are fair game. They're going to be attacked. Those who have the seal of God are going to be sealed. They can't touch them. And God will supernaturally protect them. And I love the wording here because he says, do not touch those. Notice, only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, whosoever it is who has the seal of God, you can't touch them. Those, the whosoever's who have the seal of God on their forehead, you can't touch. And I love that language because literally that's what it means. It says the men whosoever. Isn't that great? What does that remind you of? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what? Whosoever, you know, would come, would have eternal life and not perish. What God is saying is, even after the rapture, anyone that will come to Christ, the doors are still open. It is not too late.
If you're in here today and thinking right now, I know that I don't know the Lord, I'll get saved after the rapture, that would not be my recommendation. Because you're going to be here when all this stuff is happening, and you're going to end up starving and freezing to death and, you know, not being able to buy or sell, and you're going to be having your head cut off, the Bible says, if you're a believer during that time. Almost all of them, some will make it through, but I wouldn't want to take that chance, and it certainly won't be a fun 7 years. But the bottom line is that you want to make sure you go now. But here's what's exciting to me about this. Even those that missed it, God is saying you still got a chance. Whosoever, don't you love our God? Listen, here's what the gospel says. Whosoever will believe in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and whosoever will come and confess his sin and repent, he or she will be saved. It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter who. And guys, that is very passionate to my heart. There is a teaching in the church today that says that is not true, that God didn't come for whosoever, and God didn't die for everyone, but God only died for a certain elect. That God only died for a certain group of people, and that no matter what you tell them, no matter how much they know, they can never be saved because they've been created to be condemned. That is not the God I see in Scripture. And that is not what I believe. Jesus said, whosoever would come to Christ. And by the way, I would think, why in the world, if you don't believe that anyone can get saved, why would you preach the gospel to everyone? Why would you even preach the gospel to anyone? I heard just this past week, there's probably nothing more cruel than to go out and give the good news of the gospel to people who are eternally condemned before time if you really believe that. There could be nothing that'd be a worse hoax, nothing that a worse trick on them. And yet, that's what some say. Absolutely not. The Bible says that whosoever will come will be saved. And these whosoevers during these last days right here are going to be the ones that can be saved if they simply come to Christ. They have the seal of God on their forehead. They've given their life to the Lord. God has received them, and now the demonic realm can't touch them. Again, just like the plagues of Egypt, God made a difference between the believers and the unbelievers. The curses fell on those who were unbelievers, and the blessings on those, and the guarding, if you will, on those who were believers. God will do the same thing here during the plagues of the last days. He will protect those with the seal of God on their forehead. And notice he goes on about these demons. Notice they were limited. They were not given authority to kill the people of the earth, to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Again, they're going to have some kind of supernatural ability that's going to sting. Something physically is going to happen, like the strike of a scorpion. But note this, they're going to torment mankind for 5 months. I find this very interesting. What is five in Scripture representative of? The number of grace. Now you might be saying, wait a minute. This doesn't sound very gracious to me. God is going to allow demons to be unleashed on the earth. They're going to sting men for 5 months and torment them for 5 months and all this kind of thing. How could that be gracious? Here's why that is gracious. That is extremely loving and gracious for this reason. Remember who these people are. These are the ones who missed the rapture and are shaking their fist at God saying, we hate you. We hate your son. We want nothing to do with heaven. And now God is giving them one last opportunity for salvation before it's too late. God is giving them a measure of grace, 5 months of torment to get their attention. How many of you guys went through hard times before you would look up? I see some of you nodding. Some of you guys, praise the Lord. Somebody gave you the gospel. You were young. You gave your life to the Lord. That is the best testimony. But never, never, ever envy somebody who's got one of those, well, I was hooked on drugs and alcohol and, you know, I was like this, you know. Never envy that. There's nothing to be envious of. That's just simply God's mercy and God's grace that kind of person can be saved. That people like that can come to Christ. That people like me and some of you guys in this room. Again, that's not the kind of testimony you want. If you've got the testimony that says, I came to Christ when I was young and I've always served him, that's the kind of testimony you want. Believe me, that's the best testimony you can have. But the thing you've got to realize here, guys, in this is that it was God's grace to bring us to that place of suffering that we finally came to Christ. For those of you who went through suffering and that God used that suffering to bring you to your senses, that's what God's doing here. This is an act of love. This is an act of grace. God is saying, you know what? You guys are going to die and go to hell eternally without me. You hate me. You have no hope, but I still love you. How many of us still love people that hate us? This is love, guys. This is supernatural love. I know you hate me, but I'm going to bless you with demonic stings that are going to last for 5 months and make your life a living hell. What? That's a blessing? Absolutely, it's a blessing. Because what's the alternative? What do you mean, what's the alternative? The Bible says all who die without Christ will burn eternally in a lake of fire. Which is better, to suffer for 5 months and come to your senses because you realize you've been crazy, or to die and live forever in eternal fire? This is an act of love. This is an act of grace. This is an act of mercy. And God now pours out his grace and pours out his mercy on them for this 5 months so that they can still have an opportunity to be saved while they receive these supernatural scorpion stings. Now, I had to look that up. I had to look up scorpion stings. And those of you that know anything about scorpions, I know very little. I know a little bit more now. But there's those that are really, you know, hardly poisonous at all the way to the ones that kill you. And the ones that are the most poisonous are the ones that look the least harmful, it seems. They have the smallest pinchers and they have thinner bodies and all this. They're the ones that do the most damage. So it's kind of insidious in the sense that the one you think might be the most innocent could be the most, you know, damning, so to speak. And yet these guys have an interesting sting when they sting you. Now, not the ones we have here in the mountains, so no panics there. Still enjoy your hikes. Maybe even got stung by one and not even known it if you're a hiker up there. But those that carry a punch, listen what they do. They affect the central nervous system. And this is interesting to me to find out because, as I said, God was giving an opportunity of grace and repentance here by letting them be stung and trying to save them from eternal fire, right? You know what the result of a scorpion sting to the human body is, those that are deadly and poisonous? It attacks your central nervous system and you feel like you are on fire. Your body burns on the inside like you are on fire. And I thought, Lord, how appropriate. How appropriate to give those who are rejecting Christ a last opportunity to know what it's going to feel like eternally as they burn and still have a chance to say, I don't like this feeling. I don't like burning. 5 months is long enough. Eternity, I don't even want to think about. And it's going to be worse than this. I give my life to Christ. Lord, I'm coming to you. And that's drastic measures that it's going to take during the final 7 years when people are rejecting Christ. So this whole picture, again, I believe, of giving a taste of hell in advance, this fire that burns, also it causes severe local skin reactions to neurologic responses, respiratory responses, even cardiovascular collapse. You can feel breathless, have a loss of vision, even become blind. The body may go into involuntary muscle spasms or cramps, and there may be a loss of bowel function and bladder control. Now, all this is happening at one time, by the way. The poison may also cause excessive sweating, dribbling of the mouth, heart palpitations, and heart failure. That sounds like what I felt like when I first saw Tracy. So that's one of the side effects. Next, treatment. Now, here's the thing. They say the treatment is very complicated because you have all these symptoms going at one time. How do you treat that? This person is on fire on the inside. They've got all these horrible things that are happening. This is what's going to be happening for 5 months as these things begin. Oh, also, I forgot this. Major organs can be threatened with hemorrhaging and paralysis as well. And this is only the result of an earthly scorpion sting. What's a supernatural scorpion sting going to be like? I don't know. Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be worse? I don't know. You think, well, Mark, how could this get worse? Well, read verse 6. In those days, men will seek death, and they'll not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Guys, get this. Death is going to take a vacation. You're not going to be able to, well, when I say you, whoever's here and doesn't know Christ is not going to be able to die if they want to. Maybe you guys, some of you guys that are older remember the Twilight Zone. I don't think that's even still around now anymore as far as the even reruns. Oh, somebody's nodding it is. All right. So the Twilight Zone, I won't point you out. Repent, brother. I'm just kidding. But anyway, the Twilight Zone is still around. And it was a thing when I was a kid. I remember watching there was one episode of the Twilight Zone where this guy couldn't die. He couldn't die. He tried everything. He was like shooting himself, let cars run over him, jump off of buildings, and he couldn't die. And he was in this misery trying to die. That is literally going to happen. That is not a Twilight Zone scene. It's literally going to happen, the Bible says. People will be trying to kill themselves, and they can't. Suicide will not be allowed. They won't be allowed to take their own life, and they're going to be in this torment. You think, how could it get worse? That's how. You can't get out of it. But again, remember, this is God's grace again. Oh, Mark, how could being tormented for 5 months and now not being able to die be God's grace? Because until you make that decision for Christ, you don't want to die. Maybe you guys heard Jack Kevorkian died this past week, the one who was helping people put themselves to death. Listen, if any of those people who allowed him to put them to death by this, you know, suicide, medication suicide, if they didn't know Christ, if they wanted to die because they were suffering now, they had no idea what was awaiting them. It didn't get better. It got worse. That's why this is an act of grace. Without Christ, dying is the worst possible scenario. It's better to be alive and suffering if you don't know Christ. It's better to be alive and miserable if you don't know Christ, because once the lights go out, it's eternal separation into the lake of fire. And so, and actually the lake of fire will be later on, but eternal separation. And a separation into hell forever. And so the bottom line is, again, we're seeing God's amazing grace. And you know what? Again, for some people, they would never come to Christ if they weren't literally so miserable they couldn't stand it and wanted to die. There are some people like that, which means the Lord is going to do everything he can up until the very last minute to get every possible soul saved and into the kingdom of God. And if that means he has to allow some souls to be tortured and go through misery in order to be there, then God's going to do that because that's how much he loves us. And that's how much he loves them. And I love our God for what he's done because he's faithful to do it. Here's my desire, is that none of us would wait until we have to go through something like this, you know, to give our lives to the Lord. It's interesting. It says, they'll desire to die. The word desire here comes with a sense of intensity. It means with extreme vehemence. One of the strongest desires known is what this means. You want to die so bad, you'll do anything to do it, but it's not working. And guys, listen, that's the future that awaits those who are without Christ. Here's the question. Do you know this morning that you're in Christ? You know, there are certain messages in the Bible that are a lot easier and better to give in the sense of all of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. And those are the passages that are the easiest ones to give. And I think oftentimes the one that God uses the most actually to bring people to Christ about the fact that Jesus loves you. God gave his son. He died on a cross. It's his whole love story. I'm willing to lay my life down for you and I'll give myself for you. He did that on the cross for us. But God also uses fear. And some of these passages you go through in Revelation. Listen, if some of you guys are stubborn and you say, I don't know Christ and I want to party and I want to do this, whatever. Listen, this is your future. You ever seen that show? This is your life. Here's your future. Is it really worth it? Any pleasure that the world has to offer. Let me ask you a question. If you're worried about giving your life to the Lord because God's going to take your fun away, first of all, you've been deceived. It gets more fun if you come to Christ. But let me say this. If you think that, oh, these things, I have to give these pleasures. Let me ask you a question. Who created pleasure? Anybody know? God created it. We didn't suddenly figure out pleasure. Hey, I can get a neat feeling if I do that. I was like, oh man, they found out. Who told angels right up here right now? Who told them? God designed you to be a being that can enjoy pleasure. And the problem is drugs, alcohol, sex, all these things can bring temporary and limited pleasure. We know that. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. But it is Satan's way to draw you in for that temporary pleasure to say, yeah, wouldn't you rather have this? Don't go to God. There's all these rules. Don't go to God. He's going to take away your fun. Nonsense. God is the one who gave pleasure. God is the one who allows pleasure. The Bible says that in heaven there are pleasures forevermore. And you think there's things down here that make you feel really great. Wait till you get in the kingdom of God. And it's going to be eternal. Here's what Satan wants to do. He wants to rip you off now, have you go for earthly pleasure that's going to destroy you physically and spiritually right now so he can drag you down to hell with him and ruin you eternally. Listen, he's a liar. He is a liar. It's Jesus Christ is where you're going to find your hope and your life and your joy eternally. And this morning, if you don't know that, I want to give you the opportunity to know that. I'll finish with this. There was a film that they showed us again. They showed several different videos at the pastor's conference. And there was one they showed that there's this Hollywood producer who knows Christ. There's not many of those, so that's the thing to celebrate. But a Hollywood producer who knows Christ who goes to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And Pastor Chuck worked with them to put together a video. They wanted to do a video, a little movie skit that they entered in some contest in France and kind of use it as a witnessing tool. And it was called The Virus. And it was about Los Angeles and all these places out there. Some virus was released and everyone died. If you got the virus, everyone was getting it. They said if in enough time, there wouldn't be any one person who didn't get it. Everyone was going to get it. And if you got it, it was 100% death sentence. This guy's wife had already died. One of his kids had now been exposed. And all these people were dying all over the city. And his son, although exposed, didn't die. And they took his son to a special lab to find out why he didn't die, to see if there was some answer for this virus or whatever. And they tested his blood. And they found out that in his blood, there was a natural antibody. There was something that killed the virus in his blood. So he wasn't able to be affected. And if they were to take his blood and give it to anyone else, it would kill the virus in them as well. The problem was there wasn't enough blood to save all those in that region that were dying without taking all of his. And the father had a hard decision to make. He said, you mean I have to give my son and lay him down? Because each drop of blood they need, one drop will forgive. Well, you have already hit the cat out of the bag, but one drop will heal the virus for each person that it comes in contact with. Yes. And the dad made the hardest decision that any dad could make. And they strapped his son up and it slowly began to drain his life out of him. The son had to make the decision too. Just a little boy. And he decided, Daddy, I want to do this. But he was scared. He said, I'm scared, Daddy. He said, it's okay. And the video ends with his boy dying as his blood is finally all drained out and he's gone. And the entire region is now saved from this. And guys, what a beautiful picture that is, because that's exactly what our Father in Heaven did. The Bible says he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, and all it takes is one drop of blood to cleanse you from your sins. The virus of sin that's in your life, one drop is all it takes to cleanse you eternally. But you've got to receive that blood. And there's no way that you could be forgiven if he didn't die. He had to die. And the father said, I don't want my son to die, but my son has to die so that Mark can live. So that all those in Calvary Chapel, Knoxville can live, and all those that hear this message can live. My son has to die. And he let the lifeblood drain out of his son, quite literally, even as in that video they showed, so that we could be alive today. Listen, that's available for you this morning. Here's my question. Have you allowed the blood of Jesus to wash your virus of sin away? Have you done that? How do I do that, Mark? Well, here's how you do it. You got to confess. I don't confess to anything. I haven't done anything wrong. I know people worse than me. Lay your pride down. Stop with the pride. Okay, listen. If you end up in hell because of pride, you're going to regret that eternally. Forget the pride. Yeah, but then I'll have to. That'll mean my family was right. That'll mean my friend was right. That'll mean my brother was right. There's no way I can let them. Stop it. Stop it. Let them be right. Go to heaven. This is crazy. Well, what is this pride thing we have in us? You know what I'm saying? Lay it down right now. Lay it down today and say, all right, I'm going to confess. Confess your sin. Then the Bible says, believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross and say, Lord, now forgive me of my sin. I'll take your blood, wash me clean, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says you will live eternally. Does anybody want to do that? I want to give you the opportunity. Let's pray right now. Father, there's no doubt in a room with this many people, someone in here who does not know you. And this morning, you've been speaking to them. No doubt there's been spiritual warfare going on the remaining demons that are still not locked up. But Lord, you've gotten through. You've spoken to their heart. You've convicted them, Lord, of their sin. And they know this morning they need to be saved. And if that's you, you say, that's me. I want you to begin to confess your sin to the Lord right now. Confess that you are a sinner. You don't have to name every sin. I don't know that you would even remember every sin. You just tell the Lord you are a sinner and ask his forgiveness right now. Let's do that. Confess it to the Lord. If there's any listening by radio, you begin to confess right now as well. God can reach you in your car right now. Or in your home, you begin to confess and ask God's forgiveness. Now pray this after me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me on that cross. And all it takes is one drop to cleanse me eternally. Lord, wash me clean. Cleanse me with your blood. I receive it. I accept it as mine. And Lord, I ask now that you would come into my heart and you would be my Lord and you would be my Savior. And I give my life to you. The Bible says if you've done that, you're born again and all your sins are washed away. You're going to be forever in the kingdom of God with us. Lord, we thank you for those, if there are any that gave their life this morning as they heard this message to you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us, those of us who give our life to you and who know you. You've rescued us, Lord, from this terrible future that lies ahead for those who choose to reject. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your son, for what he's done on the cross. And I thank you that we will not be here to see these things we're reading about today. But Lord, let it not only lead us as believers, Lord, to a serious walk with you. Give us a heart and a desire for the lost. God, a heart and a desire to see those who don't know you come to Christ. And we thank you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.